What do you think about the 501s? Again, refreshing your memory, this is our whānau that have been deported from Australia, who have lives in Australia, who have whānau in Australia, and I would argue, probably, they are the product of an Australian operating environment, and yet they're returning home. The first two plane loads, I believe, arrived in the last 24 hours. One, I think, from memory, according to Flight Tracker, 3:30 this afternoon. Anyway, joining me on the line is Philippa Payne. Philippa, kia ora.
Kia ora, Matthew. How are you?
Well, I'm good. Now, this is I've been involved in this this sort of kaupapa now for a while on the other side of the Tasman, ironically enough. And I remember when Phil Goff and I forget who else it was turned up in my office in Sydney, and there was hope that something might be done. But my God, here we are now. Another couple of plane loads of whānau arrived home from Australia. Give us a bit of history. Tell the audience about the whakapapa of the 501s.
Well, I believe it might have been Andrew Little that turned up with Phil Goff to meet you in Sydney.
That's the one.
And also, Calvin Davis has definitely used this kaupapa as his campaign trail before being elected into government. Actually, the Labor Party have, before they came into Parliament, used this as quite a campaign trail and tried to hold the national government accountable for the actions or lack of that was happening here in New Zealand. Sadly, the Labor Party has done little, if anything, to improve the situation. We have people coming back here that are mentally, physically broken and being brutalised through a system at the hands of the Australian government, and New Zealand does nothing. Mm. We sit back and allow it to happen time and time and time again. We talk about deportation, but when is New Zealand ever going to address the fact that people are actually detained in detention centres for the average stay of 18 months?
Let's talk about this, because this is really interesting, because the challenge is what goes on in Australia. I mean, the New Zealand government, for example, they can shout from the high ivory towers or from the top of the highest mountain all they want, but at the end of the day, these decisions are taken in Canberra, and it looks as if the Canberra is just not the turning. I mean, how do we turn them?
Well, these decisions are made in Canberra, but we've got a Prime Minister at the moment who's apparently one of the top most powerful women in the world, who has used language such as "this is corrosive." It's more than corrosive, it's abusive. Mm. And people are being abused daily by the hands of the Australian government, subcontracted by Serco. We continue to just talk about deportation, as I've said, covering everything that goes with that, not talking about the holistic overview of what happens to the children. The first thing that happens to a child when someone is placed in detention is they stop going to school.
Mm.
We have children so disenfranchised in Australia that are Australian citizens but born to New Zealand parents, and we continue to stay quiet about it.
Well, given that it's a very hot button issue, I mean, because, you know, I think this is the challenge. I mean, irrespective of what Jacinda Ardern's profile might be, in the greater context of things, Australia is that bigger country to the south of us, to the north of us, wherever it might be.
But how many of our families are embedded in Australia?
Well, there's hundreds of thousands.
We have 3,400 people deported already to New Zealand. That is a huge amount that is affecting our families here. If we actually stood forward and took the shame off the deportations and admitted that the people who are being deported are our brothers, our sisters, they're us, that are people that have not made the right decision at times but do deserve a second chance at life, if we as a unit lift the shame off it, then I believe we can actually make a huge difference to thousands of lives and thousands of future lives.
So this is the big challenge, though. I mean, some of the comments that are coming through, and you know, social media is one of those things. It's not a question from many people that our whānau aren't coming home and they're not being accepted. There is genuine confusion, as you rightly point out, about why Australia is doing this in the first place, particularly since a lot of these whānau have grown up in Australia. They've worked in Australia. They've had their children in Mokopuna and Tamariki in Australia. They have wives and partners and so on and so forth. And then all of a sudden, they're being placed into detention. And from what I understand, understand, unless I'm wrong and it hasn't changed, that once they finish a sentence, for example, then they're automatically detained in a detention centre. Is that correct?
It depends under what they've been placed in for. That's under Section 501. You're quite correct that under Section 116 of the Migration Act in Australia, you just have to be charged with a crime to be placed in detention. Now, we have hundreds of people deported back to New Zealand under Section 116 who have been charged with a crime and subsequently cleared of that crime.
So why have
they been deported? They have not had the opportunity to go up in front of a judicial system to clear their name.
They're forever tarred
by the Australian immigration system, which has an effect not only on them, on their children, on their family, and on all of us.
So this comes back to that point about this being a real issue on the Australian side. I mean, there's only so much that successive New Zealand governments are able to do. And the irony is, I mean, this issue goes well past the Liberals being in government in the last term. This has also been an issue when Labor were in power over there with Kevin Rudd and Julia Gillard, I remember, and all the rest of them. But it doesn't change the kaupapa, though, that people are being deported today and they are arriving back in the country today. And now they're being placed into manager isolation. What do we need to do as our country now that they are home? What do we need to empower or enable them to do? Because, you know, the other big concern is the risk of mental health and suicide issues.
It's a huge amount,
of
mental health issues that are in amongst the detention centre, compounded by what they go through.
Mm.
The first thing that we need to do is we need to be proactive. Why do we wait for people to come on our shore? Why are we not using or establishing a service that reaches out to the people that are in detention centre, finds out their story, establishes what services they need before they get back here, and set things up instead of waiting until that person is at the airport, taking their DNA, taking their mugshot, and taking every sense of dignity that they might have left when they enter our shore?
Oh, we remember when that Channel 9 crew...
We put the shame onto them when they get
absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely.
And just something that you said before is, why do we limit the Prime Minister's conversation amongst ourselves? We talk about she can't do. Well, let's talk about what she can do, because all she does is sit back and allow this to happen. Calvin Davis stood in our government floors and challenged John Key and told him he had no... excuse my language, testicles. I challenged Calvin Davis, the same thing.
Mm.
Labor needs to step up and be proactive and start doing things to help people.
Yeah, it's a really difficult issue. It's been going on for many years. It seems as if we've reached this impasse on the other side of the Tasman in particular. I mean, I remember the video or the news footage coming out when Channel 9 cameras are on the tarmac before the last lockdown and planes were departing. I mean, it was horrendous what was going on. I mean,
that was bound to happen. Border Force Australia had been publishing those flights on those planes ever since the COVID flights had restarted. I had contacted many lawyers here in New Zealand asking what breaches had been occurred. Unfortunately, no one wants to step up.
Yeah.
We sit back time and time again allowing this stuff to happen. And it's a shame on us just as much as Australia, because this is our family. And the one thing that I know I am proud of this country is the mana and the care that we put out. So why are we not allowing it to these people?
Hey, absolutely. Hey, look, Philippa, thanks for joining us tonight. Really appreciate it. It is a big hot button issue. And certainly we've got a long way to go before it's anywhere near resolved. But hey, thank you very much for joining me on the show tonight. Really appreciate it.